Remember one particular point a few years back when I first started learning about the church year, the lectionary, the different seasons that the church celebrates, such as Advent. Now, the point I remember was noticing the readings of Advent, this part of early December, they don't really talk about Christmas at all. Instead, they're talking about things like John the Baptist, and, as in our reading this week from Matthew 21, Palm Sunday. Why? Palm Sunday belongs in the spring, right? Right there with Holy Week and Easter, not in December with Christmas. It didn't seem to fit. But now, after learning more of the meaning of these sorts of traditions of the church and the calendar and so forth, and what Advent is really all about, I think this intertwining of themes brings clarity, not confusion. The Advent season is, after all, not the Christmas season. The famous 12 days of Christmas that I know you've all heard of, those begin on Christmas Day and continue until Epiphany on January the 6th. So no matter when the stores start to decorate or the radio starts to play Christmas music, those 12 days, December 25th to January the 6th, that is Christmas according to the church calendar. Most of December is, in fact, Advent, which is a separate season. It's a time for us to contemplate all the ways that our Lord has come, continues to come, and will come to us. Certainly, Christmas is a part of that, his birth, the incarnation. But along with that, there's the spoken and written word, the sacraments, his ministry, and most especially, as far as Advent is concerned, his coming in glory at the consummation of all things. So the presence together of these richly varied themes helps to bring perspective, and therefore bring depth and dimension to each of them. Advent is not some sort of a time of pre-Christmas to prepare to receive the baby in the manger once again. It is a time that, by remembering that baby, that we are prepared to receive him again as King of the universe. It's not some sort of exercise in role playing, as if we're trying to imagine, oh, how would I have met him if I were there? Instead, it is a very personal question and one that everyone will need to answer. How will I meet him when he comes again? So Matthew's description of the Lord's entry into Jerusalem gives a picture of a crowd that is anything but united. It's a point that is often lost, being used to, as we are, gospel narratives about Jesus versus the crowd. But if we pay attention to the gospel reading, notice that almost everything that we associate with Palm Sunday actually happens before Jesus even gets to Jerusalem. More to the point, notice that the crowds who are shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, are not the people of Jerusalem at all. This is a crowd of people who has followed Jesus there, people who have been traveling with him, many, no doubt, all the way from Galilee. Now, the Jerusalem, their cry is not, blessed is he, but rather, who is he? There were actually two separate crowds that day, one who had no idea who Jesus was, and the other who thought they knew who he was. The entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem was something of the social and emotional equivalent of an earthquake. The whole city was shaken up and agitated. We can almost picture the two crowds shouting at each other across a great divide caused by the earthquake of this man's arrival. The prophet Zechariah foretold the coming of the king to Jerusalem. He spoke of that day when the simple donkey would be preferred to the powerful war horse. The prophet Malachi also promised that one day the sought-after Lord would suddenly appear in his temple. And still, Jerusalem was not ready. Still, Jerusalem could not read the signs of the times. The Lord had come to his city. The Lord had come to his temple. And yet the world did not know him. His own did not receive him, as John chapter 1 says. But what about the other crowd? The crowd that was running before and following after Jesus? The crowd flinging coats and strewing branches? The crowd that hailed Jesus as their king? Now, we know, of course, they were right to honor Jesus as Son of David, as the one who comes in the Lord's name. And yet we also know that they were still far from realizing how this Son of David would ascend to the throne and how appropriate their hosannas really were. The closest of his followers, his disciples, would all soon abandon him to his captors and run for their lives. Contrary to all their promises and assurances to Jesus, not one of them served as a character witness at his trial. Not one of them surrounded his cross in a vigil of prayer or support. There was not a heart among them that awoke with gladness that first Easter morning. Although their hearts were in fact being prepared, they could not even imagine what God was doing or was about to do next. And yet the Son of Man still went. Still, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, Jesus says. Even though no one was ready with a proper welcome, no one was ready with the kind of greeting that he deserved, yet he still came. John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for the Lord, to make his path straight, and yet, as he came into Jerusalem, the way was not straight. The path was not smooth, and yet, he accomplished what he came to do. It is his love, his desire for our salvation, that brought him down from on high, down into flesh, to embrace the fallen. He has come so that he might provide for all of us. He has come so that hearts might be ready to receive him when he comes again to judge the nations, so that we will indeed have consolation and comfort instead of terror at his return. He came the first time to teach us how to greet him when he comes again. Now, of course, we hear throughout the church year this call to return, the call to repent, and the love of God shown to us in Christ always makes it possible to have a new beginning. And yet, the pattern of the Christian life is not cycle the way that the church year is. The turning of the seasons is not meant to bring us back to the same place that we were this time last year. We do not keep Advent as if we were the shepherds or the crowds of Bethlehem, the sages in Jerusalem, or the trekking magi. We do not keep Advent as if we were them, wondering what we would have done had we been there. We're not playing some sort of make-believe game as if Jesus had not already come, because of course he has. Advent is not about being ready for Christmas. Whether our hearts and minds will be where they should be in the candlelight of Christmas Eve, rather, Advent forces us to ask and consider how we will greet him, when it's not just Jerusalem, but all heaven and earth that are shaken. When the Son of Man comes, not on the back of a donkey, but on the clouds of heaven. Because, as he said, he will return in the way that he ascended. This is what lies behind our reading from Romans chapter 13 today. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Jesus is coming back, so it's time to wake up, time to stay awake, time to cast off works of darkness, whatever sins we're involved in or that we may be prone to, time to do what we pray at the beginning of the service that we can do. We pray that we will delight in God's will and walk in God's ways to the glory of his holy name. And at the same time that we are encouraged and pushed to continue to run this race, as Paul says, at the same time, we are also reassured. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. I have to say, on one level, it seems a little bit obvious. You know, hey, Paul, that's how time works. Of course, it's nearer to us now than when we first believed. Every day, every moment that passes, technically will bring us closer to the end, whenever and however that it may come. But it is a reassurance. Every passing day brings us closer to that time when all mourning will cease and every tear be wiped away. Every passing day brings us closer to the time when the King of Kings will come to restore and redeem the whole earth. Every passing day brings us closer to eternity. The answer lies in the faith that he gives, the promises he makes, the blessings he pours out, the care he shows to us, his church, his body, his faithful people. When sun is darkened and moon is empty, when trumpets are sounding and stars are falling, then he will come to gather us from every corner of the earth, because his promise is certain and his words will not pass away. When he comes, we will lift up our heads and we will shout for joy. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So what is the purpose, then, of having a yearly season of Advent? Why do we have Advent at all when we already begin the season with his royal entry into Jerusalem? We already know how the story of the gospel ends. God has made everything ready. And yet Bethlehem and Jerusalem were caught sleeping. Everything was ready and waiting for the Lord who had need of them, as Jesus prepared for his entry into Jerusalem. And yet Jerusalem was still caught off guard. Advent calls us to not only make sure that we're ready to meet him, because we know that anyone who believes in Jesus will be ready to meet him, saved, justified, made holy by grace through faith. And yet it calls us to make sure we're not only ready to meet him, but to make sure that we stay ready to meet him. This is not a time to doze off. This is not a time to turn the lights off and go to bed. As you'll hear again through the season, the Advent readings are filled with encouragement to stay alert and to be watching, to be ready and waiting. There's one last connection that may help us between this reading and the Advent season. While that day of the entry into Jerusalem, that day is called Palm Sunday, and palm branches are what we normally think of. Here in Advent and Christmas time, we think more about evergreen trees. The palms of Palm Sunday fade and dry up. If you've ever made one of those little crosses out of the palms on Palm Sunday and kept it around for a while, you know how quickly those get dry and crispy. But evergreen trees, on the other hand, they are constant, fresh, and ready in each and every season. We are not people of Palm Sunday, whether the enthusiastic crowd horrified by Good Friday or the confused crowd of Jerusalem. We are instead evergreen people of Advent, always renewed and refreshed by Christ, always ready and waiting for him to come again. It's a perfect way to tie all these together, the Holy Week palms and the Christmas evergreens, a wonderful way to begin another Advent. When he comes again, how will we greet him? The baby in the manger who grows up, who is that man, that king riding a donkey to his throne on a cross, knowing how he came the first time. May this teach us how we will greet him when he comes again. We will greet him as ever thankful, ever watchful, ever faithful people of God. And being prepared in this way, we will certainly rejoice when we see him. Amen.